You're listening to Radio Hangar, where the aviation conversation never stops. This is Clear Direct, and I'm Vector. Glad you're here, because this week we are diving into something that touches every single one of us who flies. We're talking about automatic dependent surveillance, where it's been, where it is right now, and where it's taking air traffic control over the next decade. And honestly, some of what's coming is going to surprise you. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. If you've ever pinned on a new rating or watched a student nail their first solo, you know those moments deserve more than a logbook entry. Aviation Soul makes aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey, beautifully made and built to last. Check them out at AviationSoul.com. All right, let's break this down. Automatic Dependent Surveillance Broadcast, or ADS-B, has been mandatory in the United States since January 1st, 2020. If you're flying in controlled airspace, Class A through Class C, or anywhere you need a transponder, you need ADS-B out. That's been the rule for over 6 years now. But here's the thing most pilots don't think about. The mandate was never the finish line, it was the starting line. To understand why, you need to understand what ADS-B actually replaced and what it enables. For most of aviation history, air traffic control has relied on radar. Primary radar sends out a pulse. It bounces off your airplane and comes back. Secondary radar interrogates your transponder, and your transponder squawks back a code and maybe your altitude. This system works. It has worked for decades, but it has real limitations. Radar sweeps. That means your position updates every 4 to 12 seconds depending on the facility. In terminal areas, you get faster updates. In en route airspace, it's slower. There are gaps in coverage, especially at low altitudes and in mountainous terrain, and radar infrastructure is expensive. We're talking about large rotating antennas, significant power requirements, and constant maintenance. The Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, operates hundreds of radar facilities across the country, and many of them are aging. ADS-B flips the entire model. Instead of the ground interrogating your airplane broadcasts its own position. It takes its GPS fix, packages it with your velocity, your altitude, your flight ID, and sends it out once every second. Once per second. Compare that to a radar sweep every 6 to 12 seconds, and you start to see the difference. The ground stations that receive ADS-B are simpler and cheaper than radar installations. They're small. They draw less power. You can put them in places where you could never justify building a radar facility. That's why ADS-B coverage now extends into areas that never had radar surveillance. Parts of the Gulf of Mexico, remote stretches of Alaska, mountainous terrain in Colorado, and the Pacific Northwest. Now here's what's coming this week in the conversation and why I wanted to get ahead of it. The FAA has been quietly advancing what they call the NAS surveillance strategy. NAS stands for National Airspace System, and the key phrase in that strategy is transition from radar to ADS-B as the primary surveillance source, not supplemental, primary. That distinction matters enormously. Several older radar facilities are already scheduled for decommissioning over the next few years. The FAA has been studying which radars can be retired as ADS-B coverage matures, and this is where it gets interesting for general aviation pilots. If you're flying with ADS-B out, this transition is largely invisible to you. Your service improves. Controllers see your position more accurately and more frequently. Spacing can potentially tighten, which means more efficient routing. That's the upside. But let's talk about the concerns, because there are real ones. First, GPS dependency. ADS-B relies entirely on GPS for its position source. Radar doesn't care about GPS. Radar sees metal in the sky. If GPS degrades, whether from solar activity, interference, or something more deliberate, ADS-B degrades with it. The FAA knows this. The Department of Defense knows this. There's been ongoing work on a GPS backup, and this is where complementary positioning, navigation, and timing systems come in. You may have heard of ELORAN, which is a modernized version of the old Loran C navigation system. It operates on low-frequency signals that are extremely difficult to jam and can serve as a GPS backup. Congress has gone back and forth on funding this for years. As of right now, there's still no fully operational ELORAN network in the United States, though there are test installations. This remains the single biggest vulnerability in an ADS-B primary surveillance architecture. Second concern, ADS-B IN, this is the part of the system that lets you receive information in the cockpit. Traffic information through TISB, Traffic Information Service Broadcast. Weather through FISB, Flight Information Service Broadcast. These are genuinely useful. If you've flown with a Stratus receiver or a Garmin GDL series unit, you've seen how much situational awareness ADS-B IN provides. But here's what most people miss. TISB has limitations that are not always well understood. The traffic you see on your ADS-B in display is not a complete picture. TISB only broadcasts traffic that's near ADS-B equipped aircraft. If nobody with ADS-B out is in an area, the ground station has no reason to uplink traffic there, and there are latency issues. The targets you see have been through multiple processing steps. Position, delay, broadcast, receive, process, display. That traffic target could be 6 to 10 seconds old by the time you see it on your screen. For collision avoidance, 6 seconds matters. This is why ADS-B-IN is an advisory tool, not a replacement for see and avoid or for an active traffic collision avoidance system, TCAS, on larger aircraft. Third, privacy and security. ADS-B is an unencrypted broadcast. Anyone with a $100 receiver can track any ADS-B-equipped aircraft in real time. There are websites doing exactly this right now. The FAA has a privacy program called PIA, the Privacy ICAO Address Program, which lets aircraft owners request a temporary address that rotates. But it's opt-in, it has limitations, and the fundamental architecture remains open. There's also the spoofing question. Because ADS-B is unauthenticated, it's theoretically possible to inject false targets into the system. Research teams have demonstrated this in controlled environments. The aviation security community takes this seriously, and there are proposals for ADS-B message authentication, but retrofitting authentication into a system that's already deployed on tens of thousands of aircraft is not simple. Now, let me pivot to what's actually exciting about where this goes. The next evolution is what the FAA and industry groups are calling ADS-B 3.0, or more formally, the future surveillance environment. The idea is to move beyond just position broadcasting into intent broadcasting. Imagine your aircraft not just telling the system where it is, but where it plans to be. Trajectory intent data shared between aircraft and between aircraft and the ground. This connects directly to a concept called trajectory-based operations, TBO. Instead of controllers issuing step-by-step vectors and altitude assignments, the system would negotiate four-dimensional trajectories: latitude, longitude, altitude, and time. Your flight management system would compute a path, share it with air traffic control, and the system would deconflict trajectories automatically, with controllers supervising, rather than manually directing every turn. The data tells an interesting story here. Eurocontrol in Europe has been running trials with trajectory sharing, and they've seen measurable improvements in fuel efficiency and on-time performance. The Europeans have their own version of this through their Single European Sky ATM research program, known as CESAR. In many ways, Europe is ahead of the US on integrating surveillance data into trajectory management. For general aviation, the most practical near-term development is better services delivered through ADS-B infrastructure. Think improved weather products on FISB, think graphical NOTAMs. Notice to air missions, delivered directly to your cockpit display. Think dynamic airspace alerts, where temporary flight restrictions pop up on your screen the moment they're published, instead of you having to check before departure and hope nothing changed. There's also the drone integration piece. The FAA's plan for integrating unmanned aircraft into the national airspace system depends heavily on ADS-B architecture. Remote identification for drones, which started rolling out in 2024, is essentially a lightweight version of ADS-B. Small drones broadcast their identity and position, and the infrastructure to receive and manage that data builds on the same network. As drone traffic increases, and it will increase dramatically, the surveillance backbone that ADS-B provides becomes even more critical. One more thing worth watching. Space-based ADS-B companies have been launching satellite constellations that can receive ADS-B signals from aircraft anywhere on the planet, including over the oceans where there are no ground stations. Aireon, which partnered with Iridium, has been operational for several years now, and Oceanic Air Traffic Control is already using this data. The North Atlantic tracks, where hundreds of aircraft fly between North America and Europe every day, have seen reduced separation standards because of space-based ADS-B. That means more efficient routes, more direct routing, and fuel savings. For those of us flying domestically, space-based ADS-B is less immediately relevant, but it demonstrates the scalability of the concept. The same architecture that tracks a Boeing 787 over the Atlantic works with a Cessna 172 over Kansas. So where does this leave us as pilots? If you're already ADS-B compliant, you're set for the current mandate, but keep your eyes on the evolution. The system you equip for in 2020 is going to look basic compared to what's coming. Future avionics will likely integrate tighter with ADS-B services. Expect more data in the cockpit, more automation and traffic management, and yes, more complexity to understand. My recommendation, and this is Vector being honest with you, is to treat ADS-B the way you treat your instrument scan. It's not something you set up once and forget. Understand what your equipment can and cannot do. Know the limitations of TISB traffic, keep your GPS database current, and stay informed as the FAA updates its surveillance strategy, because those updates will affect how you fly. This is a system in motion. The mandate was the foundation. What we build on it over the next decade will reshape how air traffic control works in this country. And unlike some of the vaporware in aviation tech, this one has real infrastructure, real funding, and real momentum behind it. Content for today's segment was drawn from FAA surveillance roadmap documents, reporting from AVWeb and AOPA on the NAS modernization program, Eurocontrol's trajectory operations research, and Aireon's published data on space-based ADS-B performance. As always, Radio Hangar is an AI-generated broadcast built by people who love aviation. Everything we cover is sourced, and we're transparent about how this show is made. If you want links to the source material or want to dig deeper, head over to RadioHangar.com. I'm Vector. Thanks for spending part of your week with me on Cleared Direct. Go fly something this weekend. And when you're up there, remember that little box broadcasting your position once a second is doing more than keeping you legal. It's building the future of the airspace we all share. Radio Hangar. Clear skies and tailwinds.